Today is Celebration Sunday. It's the day where we look back at the past over the last year that has been, and I'm just going to highlight a few things that have happened in church over the year. Hopefully, we'll be encouraged together. I have a very short thought that I'm going to share. We're going to break for 15 minutes or so to get tea and coffee, donuts, and then we're going to come back in and have our business side of things. And so it's not as bad as it sounds, honest, okay? So welcome if you missed the first welcome. It's great to see everyone this morning. Welcome to those who've joined online. I was going to say it's good to see you, but I can't. So say something in the chat or the comments or whatever. But it's good to have you with us online. Before we go into last year, I just wanted to share a few things, just to remind the church of our vision, which is sowing seeds of faith and reaping the generations. Sowing seeds of faith that, you know, we can work our socks off and do lots of amazing things for God, but unless the Holy Spirit's in it, unless God moves, then it's just human effort and energy being expended. Sowing seeds of faith means that we do what God's asking us to do. That we sow seed and we plant with the Holy Spirit moving amongst us. And prayer and the presence of God are two essential parts of that. And so that's what we're doing. Sowing seeds of faith. Sowing seeds in faith, prayerfully, and looking to God for the increase. Our vision is to reach, win, grow, and serve. And as I was preparing for today, I thought, oh, wow. In that word reach, there's a word, and it's called each. There's another word in the word reach, and it's each. And I was thinking, each person needs to reach another person. One person, reach one person. If you could reach one person, okay? Each one to win one person. Each one win one. What a possibility. If we all win some person to Christ and introduce somebody to a relationship with Jesus, how amazing would that be? How about each one growing another person? Do you know, we often sort of look to the church leaders to help us to grow. How about we become disciples committed to the journey of growing in God and growing in our faith, and we actually say, well, I'm going to take somebody under my wing and I'm going to help them to grow as well. One person, each one growing one. That sounds amazing. That would mean that I didn't need to do all the work, or the church leaders didn't need to do all the work. I quite like the sound of that. How does that sound to you? And then all of us serving the Lord and seeing his kingdom come. And how do we do that? Three values, very simply. What the heck are they? Humility, excellence, and compassion. Some people remembered that little analogy. And we have these values because we believe that it models Jesus. This is what he modeled. And when we work in this way, then we model Christ to others. And so I want to just remind us of those things and be encouraged in those things. Are we encouraged? Are we encouraged? Now we're encouraged. I'm encouraged. Like, I need a lot of encouragement today. Can I just say something? For some bizarre reason this morning, I woke up at 5:45, and that was me. I was up, and I tried to get back to sleep, and then the dogs next door started barking, and it wasn't even 6 o'clock yet. I was like, what is going on here? What the heck is going on? So I'm just a little bit tired today, so I need a lot of encouragement, lots of smiles, okay? And I just need that little bit of amen, go for it, brother, okay? Let's practice that. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we can do this, okay? So just a little reflection on AOG, Assemblies of God, which is our denomination. And at the last count, there were 604 churches and Assemblies of God, 46 in Scotland. And we are accountable to Assemblies of God for the way that we run as ministers, with the way we do things, and the way we run our churches. At the last count, 39 BA students in our Bible college, 994 ministers, 23% of them are female, which is amazing, and we have 77... Oh, somebody likes that. Yes! I'll take plenty of amens. Thank you very much. 77 full-time missionaries, and missions is going like a bomb in AOG. I just think it's amazing, and our leader, Kirk McAteer, is doing an amazing job. Anne's not here today, so I'm going to let you into a little secret, okay? I was talking to somebody in Assemblies of God, another minister who's connected with the mission stuff, and he said, by the way, Anne is spoken about in AOG missions because she's a real great example of what it is to champion missions. Isn't that amazing? That's our Anne. So I just think that's amazing. And we've been doing some amazing things. We'll come to that in a little second, about praying for missionaries as well. In our local church here, Whitburn, we have 18 treasure tots along with 16 adults. Wow. 4 babies in church, 26 Sunday treasure kids, 30 to 40 weddings day treasure kids, plus parents who stay. Sorry, I should be going through my notes here, shouldn't I? I'm getting too excited. 13 youth attending Oxygen, and there are many more that could be going to Oxygen. And I want to encourage you to get young people into Oxygen. 14 young adults, plus others who come along to young adults. And there's over 120 adults as part of the church. That's amazing. That's over 250 people who are connecting with this church on a weekly basis, plus others who come to things like Flourish, who are not encountered in that, Season Changers and other events. And last year, there were 3 baby dedications, 3 baptisms, and 10 people came into membership. I don't know about you, I'm excited about that. I think that's really encouraging. Amen. Yes. We're getting the hang of it. Let's talk about missions for a little minute. It's not by chance that we support missions in the Far East. We support missions in the Far East because in the Far East, they are more least reached people groups in the Far East. You'll notice I've not highlighted anything in there because it's quite sensitive that we support people there. But we also support Watoto, which is in Uganda. It is circled on the screen there. And Stuart and Jean in particular champion Watoto and the missions work there. And we also support work in Europe, and I've circled Switzerland, Ukraine and Bulgaria. We still keep up connection with our friends in Bulgaria. And also, just to say about missions, that we have 4 missions partners that we support month by month, 5 organisations that we support, one of them monthly, and 4 others this last year that we supported financially. We've been involved in AOG appeals. Sorry, I need somebody else to click this for me because I just get too excited when I'm talking about this. I'll speak more about that just during our AGM. We support Compassion, boys and girls in another part of the world. We supported Samaritan's Purse. You can see the picture on the screen there of the shoeboxes that we collected. And our offering, our Christmas offering this year went to Ukraine. But it will not show up in the financial figures because we tried to make a transaction before the end of the year and something went wrong and it wasn't my fault, okay? So the Christmas offering went to the work of Ukraine. But we siphoned that off through Convoy of Hope Europe just to support the work that they were doing on the ground in Ukraine and in the surrounding nations. And we also did a missions fundraiser last year. Can you remember this, boys, who were on the fundraiser? The sore legs, the breathlessness, the hills, the hills, the hills. It's funny, we came off the ferry from Oban and we landed I've forgotten the name of the place. We landed in Vatersay and we came off the ferry and we started in the camper van, up a hill. And what did Stuart say? This place is full of these wee things. They're called hills. And we had a fantastic time just raising money for Watoto on that fundraiser. And just to carry on thinking about church life, prayer has been an important aspect to church life. And I was saying about missions there, one of the things we began to do, because we were meeting on Zoom, and we probably would never have thought of this, and it might not have been able to happen other than Zoom, we invited missionaries to join us in our prayer times. And it was great to have them come and join us on Zoom. And on that particular occasion that's represented by the photograph, the screenshot, we had Andrew with us and Jonathan from Watoto as well. Why is prayer important? Yeah, to pray into mission. There's another picture on there which represents a tragedy which occurred in our community near here just last year. And I want to say we need to pray for this generation which is rising. We really need to pray for this generation because they need something more than what culture and society has given them just now. And they need something that will ground them and give them hope and give them reason and purpose. There's another picture on there of a hailstorm which passed out the back of our house. And it reminded me of the storms in life that we all go through. And here's the thing about storms, they come and they go. That reminds me of a song, Josh, sorry, but I'll not sing it. Ah, yes. Well said. And there's another wee picture there which was taken out of my window just as the rain was coming down. And it reminded me that we're praying for something regularly. We're praying that the rain of God would come, that the Holy Spirit would come like rain, and just rain upon us and do some amazing things. The other thing that's excited me about prayer is praying with other leaders across our nation. The picture on the screen there, it was from last November, where 80 pastors joined online on Zoom to pray. And this year, we had 100 pastors join online to pray at our last event. And I'm really encouraged as I listen to other pastors praying, what God is saying to them and how they're praying. And I was so encouraged even just this week that I arranged to meet up with somebody for coffee. And I thought, God is saying something to this church leader that is resonating so strongly within me and things that God is saying in me. And I'm thinking, we need to meet up and we need to pray and we need to compare notes and just see what God is saying because we need God to move. And so prayer has been an important aspect of the church life. And if you've not been involved in corporate prayer, I encourage you to get involved. It's on Zoom, 3 times out of the 4, and then one time we meet here in person. And it's amazing. Privileged to be part of Assemblies of God. Dr. Glenn Balfour is our theologian in residence. He's a good friend. And when he was up, he did a Bible weekend with us. We had an amazing Saturday. The content was amazing. We had visitors from other churches. But it was just a fantastic time. And I want to see more of that type of stuff happening in the life of the church. You know, our church works with all generations, from the youngest at the toddlers. You can see the place set up for toddlers on a Friday, to the oldest generations. I'm not going to say too much about that. But Season Changers was meeting for their autumn event, and everything kicked off. And so I was really encouraged by that. Also encouraged to see Flourish begin again, our ladies' ministry, with the wreath-making class. There's a certain lady in that bottom photograph who was doing tuition. I can't remember who all else was doing tuition. There was other people doing tuition. See, not past it, Bet. You're not past it yet. You've still got a purpose. Amen. Yes, I like it. We all have a purpose. It doesn't matter how old or how young we are. Do you know, we were in Treasure Kids, not last Friday, but the one before. I don't do a lot of the talking in Treasure Kids now, but I was on that night, and I was telling the children how we can have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and to just become a Christian in order for him to produce all this fruit. And so I said, this is what happened to me when I was a wee boy of 6. I'm not going to bore you because you've all heard that story, and be like, here he goes again. I know how you feel. Because every time Andrew used to talk about Dundee, I'd be like, Andrew, I've heard this story a million times, and you've heard my story a million times, so what we're going to do is we're going to hear some of your stories. How does that sound? Amen. Amen. And what was I saying? I've totally forgotten what I was saying. What was I saying? That's what I was saying. And I was talking about how we can invite the Holy Spirit in, and it's just a prayer, and I prayed a prayer, and I said, it's like that. And I said, I'd never done this before, how many people have prayed that prayer? And all these hands went up. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And one wee girl who's sitting right in front of me, right here. Okay. For those who are online, you might not have seen that. Somebody said, and she says, I've just prayed that prayer right now. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And it's just incredible to be part of what God's doing. We also have Oxygen, which meets on a weekly basis, more than once. The top left picture, your top left picture. No, top right. Sorry, I can't tell my right from my left. I get confused because I'm looking at a different screen from you. And I got up at 5:45 this morning. Did I say that? This is not an amen moment. This is an aww moment. I got up at 5:45 this morning. Said amen. So it's been encouraging just to listen to the conversations at Oxygen and the Revive Nights, and just thank you for the privilege of being able to come and share it. That was lovely. But great to see God working amongst our young people as well. Last year in November, we had a service of remembrance here in the church, and we just took time to remember people that we had lost, not just during COVID, but that as well. And we know that today there's a service down in Motherwell at the King's Church where they're doing the exact same thing today, just to remember people that they've lost, particularly during COVID. And we know what it's like to grieve as a church, don't we? We know what it's like to grieve. We know what it's like to experience loss. And so we've been through some challenging times as a church. At the end of last year, one of the things that really encouraged me was we finally made it happen. We had our Christmas jump air event. Do you get it? Jump air jumper. And even I had a Christmas jumper on that day, which is something. I never wear Christmas jumpers. I still don't own it. I borrowed it. It's against my religion to buy a Christmas jumper. Normally, kidding. And I think from memory, we had 36 kids and 30 adults at Christmas jumper. Last year, working alongside Convoy of Hope Europe, that partnership that we talked about, and they were absolutely amazing. They gave us money to actually put on this event. We put money in as well, but Convoy of Hope gave us money to put on this community event, and I'm really believing that next year, at the end of this year, when we do Christmas Jumper again, they don't know that yet, but we're doing it again, that maybe we could have something for the toddlers and the kids and the youth. How amazing would that be? Over maybe three nights rather than just two nights. Is this okay? Am I allowed to say this? We've not even talked about this yet. So Christmas Jumper was amazing. There are lots of practical things that need done in the church. The pictures that you're looking at, the top right, I have to turn around to get that right. That's how our baptismal tank looked after the last baptisms. And I'm thinking, where did all that stuff come from? I couldn't work it out. I'm like, surely the last person to get baptized had a bath before that. I'm only kidding. I'm only joking. Guys, you who were baptized last year, I'm only joking. But what we discovered was that there was water coming back up into the tank, but there's also water coming in and sitting underneath the floor of the church. In fact, where I'm standing, that picture of water is underneath where I'm standing right now. And all that mess that you see is underneath this bit here. So there's some problems which began to transpire, and it's just been such a long time to try and get things sorted out between Scottish Water and this thing and that thing. We've now diagnosed the problem. Now we need to fix the problem. Still, we had the electrician in doing his checks. So it was great to get all those practical things done. There's loads and loads of practical things that need done in a building all the time. And we have a number of people who've signed up to a Love the Building team. We will be calling on your services just very shortly. And also last year, we had our cameras installed by D3. So all you folks who are online just now, the benefit is all yours that we have these cameras installed. And we do have TVs in other parts of the church as well for others to benefit from, including up in the creche. Hi, guys. other events that have happened in the life of the church, just moving on really quickly, bonfire nights, the top... Why can't I still get that in my head? It's my top right as well. What am I going on about? It's the same thing. Gee whiz. Did I mention I got up at 5:45 this morning? Thank you. A little photograph of Treasure Kids there, all the singing and dancing that goes on. There's a photograph of us setting up for Christmas. It's not that far away, you know. I like it. The top right Civic Week, which we're just about to go down to after our AGM today. Other events, and I'm almost finished with a run through baby dedications, guest speakers, baptisms. And I don't know if you remember last year, we had a prophet with us, Clem Ferris. When Clem was here, I actually had COVID. And so when Clem was here, that's how it looked to me. Top right, I've got it now. That's my last slide and I've just got it. So for me, I was watching it on a computer with my notepad and my iPad, just taking notes, making sure that Clem was behaving himself and didn't say anything too dodgy or wacky. But all of these things over the course of the life of a year in a church. And there are so many more things that happen. There are so many more interactions. There are so many people who get involved and do things and who serve and who just get involved in what God is doing. And there's so many things, it would be hard to really mention all of those things. But I just wanted to share, just as we finish off our time together, we're going to do another song at the end, a new song, and introduce a new song. I was just reading my Bible on Friday, and I felt the Holy Spirit just got my attention on Friday as I was reading. I'm in the Old Testament, reading through Genesis. And it says in Genesis chapter 35, verses 2 to 3, "And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Put away your alien gods that are in your midst, and cleanse yourself, and change your garments, and let us rise and go to Bethel. And I shall make an altar there to God, who answered me on the day of my distress, and was with me on the way that I went.'" Jacob gets this nudge, and he has to put something into action. And he says to the people that are with him, "Put away your idols, cleanse yourself, change your clothes, let's get up and let's go." And Bethel, sorry, I should have put that verse up on the screen. Bethel is 10 miles north of Jerusalem, not far from Jerusalem. And as I was meditating on this passage, this is the thoughts that filled my mind. And the first thing was this, that we need to get rid of the idols. Let's get rid of idols. Anything that comes before our relationship with God, anything that we put our trust in, before putting our trust in God, it can become an idol. And we need to get rid of every idol. Let's confess. Let's confess our sin. You know, when it says there about cleanse yourself, it probably meant physically cleaning yourself, but it's symbolic of the cleansing that comes from God. The Bible says that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess. We need to confess our sins. Anything where we fall short of God's standard, we need to confess and get ourselves right before God. The third thing that I noticed was, let's put on our robes, a robe of righteousness, and let's pick up our armor. And I felt, just as I was meditating in this passage, that the Holy Spirit said this, don't take off the robe of righteousness, as tempting as it is. As tempting as it is. The devil's always at our heels, or one of his cohort, to tempt us to take off the robe of righteousness. Don't take off the robe of righteousness. Right living before God and right living before other people. Don't give in to temptation. I also felt that the Holy Spirit wanted me to emphasize this thing about pick up your armor. Because some people have taken off their armor. And when you take off your armor, you don't have the defenses that you need to withstand the enemy. Some people, I just felt this, your shield is down and your sword is stayed. Your shield is down and your sword is stayed. We need to hold up the shield of faith. When the enemy comes to attack, and he will attack, and often the attack comes in our mind, we need to hold up the shield of faith. And what do we come back with? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And if we're not meditating on the Word of God day and night, then how will it be in us for it to come out of us in the moment when the devil comes to attack us? We need to get our sword out. If I had an actual physical Bible with me, I would show you what we used to do when I was in Sunday school. We used to call it sword drill, right? Where you'd put your Bible under your arm and somebody would say, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and you had to get your Bible out and look it up really quickly. And the first person to stand up would read it out. And if you're really clever, you'd have memorized it and you could stand up without your Bible and just say it. It was called sword drill. Don't leave your sword in its sheath. Don't allow the Bible to gather dust on your shelf. You've not lost your helmet of salvation, but maybe you need to put it on. Maybe for some of us, our breastplate of righteousness has got stained and we need to take it out and polish it up and get it back in place. And we need truth in our heart, truth in our words and truth in our actions. And then he says, let's go to the house of God. Bethel means house of God. Let's go to meet with God. Let's come together to meet with God. Let's worship the King. We come together, and we've done that this morning through song. We do it by our gathering. We do it by our giving. We do it by our fellowship. We do it by saying amen at the appropriate moments. Amen. Yeah? And we come and we worship God. We come into the presence of the King of Kings. There's something about gathering and coming together to worship that's powerful. The third, well, it's not the third thing, it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sixth thing. It's the sixth thing. I'm going through them really quickly. Let's be real. Let's be real. Because life is tough, isn't it? Life is tough. But we know that we have the Holy Spirit with us. We have God with us. But let's be real. After Jacob had gone to Bethel and come back and moved on from that place, we read in the Bible, as we read on in Jacob's story, that his beloved Rachel died. And that later on, his father, Isaac, died. Life is something that we experience. It's so much better if we're able to experience that together and walk through our challenges together. Just as I'm trying to move quickly on. It says, as they journeyed. As they journeyed, in verse 5, I feel that what God was saying to us is that we need to be a people who are on the move. Does that make sense? A people who are on the move, a people who are on a journey, a people who are moving forward into the things that God has for us, not looking back, right? That verse from Isaiah in 43, the writer is talking about all the amazing things that God has done as he brought them out of Egypt. And what does he say? Forget the former things. Forget the former things. All those amazing things, forget the former things. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? A way in the wilderness, a road in the desert. God wants us to be on the move, a people who are on the move. It's so much harder to get something moving when it's sitting still. Last night we were sitting out and they'd been baling all the grass and they'd made all these big black puddings in the field. You know what I'm talking about? And our neighbours were out for a wee walk, so they went for a walk in the field, and we watched them trying to roll one of these big bales, and they couldn't make it move because it just had gravity on its side, okay? And as hard as they tried to move it, it wouldn't move. It took two of them to actually even get it to budge. It's much harder when things aren't moving to get movement. But when we as people are moving into the things of God, then God wants to come and do something in our movement. I'm not saying not go back to the promises of God in your life. Maybe that's where some of us need to go. But I do feel that what God is saying, and this has been something that's just a phrase that's been in my heart for a number of weeks now, is that miracles come with movement. Miracles come with movement. Look at the life of Jesus, okay? What did Jesus do? He went out and he met people. He was always on the move from place to place to place to place. He was always on the move. He was always with people. And he was always moving into somebody's situation. And as he moved into somebody's situation, that's where the life came. That's where the miracle happened. And that's where people were transformed and changed. If all we're doing is sitting back and say, Lord, make miracles happen, but we're not prepared to go anywhere and do anything, do you think he's going to be very willing? Well, maybe he will be because he's very gracious, but I think God's drawn to the movement. Miracles come with movement. I want to encourage us just as we finish things off, and I'm honestly almost finished. There's no 7-step program. There's no magic formula, just faithfulness. Wouldn't it be good if it was just, well, do these 7 things and everything will be sorted and everything will be perfect? Wouldn't it be good if you could just go izzy-wizzy? No, let's not go that way again. Let's not do that again. Let's say something else, okay? The magic word, whatever it is. Life's not like that. God is looking for a people who will trust him completely, who will be faithful, whose desire will be for him, whose trust will be in him, and who are prepared to move into the things that he has for them. That's the type of God that I think God is. Listen to this. I said I was almost finished. Can you give me another couple of minutes? It says, let me just come back to my notes. Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. And it's talking about God. God said to Aaron and Miriam, they'd been moaning about Moses, okay? And they'd be like, well, God speaks to us too. And Moses isn't the only person who hears from God around here. The kids do this wee thing, I can't do that. It's this cool wee thing that they do. And God takes them, the three of them, and says, come to the tent. I want to have a chat with you guys. And it's a serious thing when God says, come to the tent. I'm going to have a chat with you guys, right? And this is what he says. Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions and I speak in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And I don't want to emphasize what Aaron and Miriam were up to. That's not the point here. The point is, he is faithful in all my house. Look out for that word house in Genesis. It keeps coming up time and time and time again. Joseph, faithful in Potiphar's house. Joseph, faithful in the house of the prisoner. Joseph, faithful over all the house of Egypt. Here is Moses later on in the book. And God has sent to Aaron and Miriam, he is faithful in all my house. Faithful in all my house. There's a sense in which Moses was entrusted with the house of Israel. Israel had been Jacob and the family of God, like a steward, like a head butler. For those who are into Downton Abbey, anybody watch Downton Abbey? You'll all know who Mr. Carson is, yes? Imagine Mr. Carson in charge of the whole household. It's not his, he's not the boss, he doesn't own it, but he's in charge of everything that happens in there. And that's what God is saying about Moses. In the house of Israel, given charge over the whole house, completely trustworthy. It's like being given the keys to the house. Would you give your keys of your house to just anybody? No, you wouldn't. There's trust on the part of the person who gives the keys. And I'm just asking today, what can God trust you with? Oh, yes, it's about us putting our trust in him, but what can God trust you with? Psalm 11:7 says this, for the Lord is righteous, he loves justice, and upright people will see his face. Upright people will see his face. I'm looking for moments when we gather together in worship where it's like we could almost see the face of God. Sometimes I feel it's like that in worship. It's like you can almost see God in the building, in the room. And I want to encourage us to rise today with faith. As we reflect on the year that's been, we're halfway through the year that's here. Let's rise in faith. Let's move with compassion. Let's walk with humility and strive to do everything with excellence. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're unchanging. And Father, we ask that you would help us to trust completely in you. Father, we ask that our hearts would be wide open to you, wide open to your word, wide open to all that you want to do in us and through us. And Father, we pray that we continue to be a church that's on the move. And Father, we pray that as we move into situations with people, Father, as we step out in faith, as we try to be Jesus to others, Lord, we pray that you would come and meet us in the movement. And Father, that the miracles that we're praying for would come. Lord, we take that step of faith today, even today, moving into that realm of praying for miracles, Father. We take that step of faith and we ask that you would honor our faith today as we ask. Father, we pray, move amongst us in power for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe the musicians can come back up.
So you're welcome to sit or stand. It's up to you for this song.
Excuse me. Excuse me. It's me to start. This is a problem. Sorry.
Comes from
we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you endure, Father, that you're from everlasting to everlasting, and that we can trust you. Lord, there is nothing that we can't trust you with. And so, Father, we pray that you'd come and, Father, just demonstrate your presence in our circumstance. Lord, help us to take our eyes off of the circumstance and to focus on you, to look to Jesus. And, Father, we pray that our hearts would be moved to just turn to you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you take the things that have been said all throughout this service today, and, Lord, that you just cement them into our hearts and minds. Lord, we know that the enemy would come and try to steal that thing which you've been doing today as soon as we leave this building. But, Lord, we just pray your protection over every mind, every heart. And, Lord, we pray that the seed which you've planted today would just find a good place to grow. And so, Lord, we just give ourselves to you today. Father, we just pray blessing on every family that's represented here today, every family in the church. Lord, may you just bless us as we go into this week in our workplaces, our homes, our schools, colleges, our streets, our communities, wherever we find ourselves. Father, we pray that you just give us the strength to be the people that you call us to be in those places. Lord, that we would rise in faith. Lord, that particular situation or a person or something that we're dealing with, that we're maybe struggling with, Father, we just pray that you would bring the outcome in that situation. Lord, that you bring deliverance in that situation. So strengthen us as we go. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.